from the nation's capital. This is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. Back at our microphones, Reverend Yvonne Cooper. She's here to talk about faith-based mentoring and this whole concept of what it's like to have volunteers sit down with individuals out of the prison system, what they're doing to help these individuals readjust to life on the outside of a prison setting. With her today is Lois Sawyer. Lois is on parole, being supervised by my agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. We're a federal parole and probation agency here in the District of Columbia. Before we begin the show, the usual commercial, a thank you to everybody. We are up to 225,000 requests on a monthly basis for DC Public Safety radio, television, blog, and transcripts. We really appreciate your comments. We live by your comments, whether they're negative or positive, and we really, really, really super appreciate them. If you want to get in touch with me directly, you can do so by emailing me, Leonard, L-E-O-N-A-R-D, Sipes, S-I-P-E-S, at C-S-O-S-A.gov, or you can follow us via Twitter at twitter.com/LenSipes. Back to our guests, Reverend Yvonne Cooper and Lois Sawyer. Welcome to DC Public Safety, Yvonne and Lois.
Thank you so very much.
It's always fun when you're on the program, Yvonne. There's
Amen.
Never a dull moment. You are enthused. You are charged up about what it is that you do. You're an inspiration to the rest of us who plod through. Sometimes those of us who are paid to do this, we plod through this at a certain point. Sometimes our enthusiasm wanes. Sometimes our enthusiasm is not as it should be. Your level of enthusiasm is always at peak level. Why is that?
Well,
and you don't get paid to do this.
No,
you're a volunteer.
I do not. No, I do not. You know, God has placed on my heart to help those who can't help themselves. I like to call it the least, the limited, and the lost. And so I'm so excited that the Lord thought it not robbery to choose me, even me, a former wretch like me, to help some other folk that have come through the trenches, because I, too, have gone through the trenches, having been there, done that,
mm-hmm.
a former felon myself,
mm-hmm.
or felon, I guess I should say, and I'm just so glad that I had that experience, because had I not had it, I would not be doing the work that I do. So I'm excited.
You wouldn't be doing this work if you hadn't had that experience, if you hadn't been part of the criminal justice system, if you hadn't been incarcerated yourself, you wouldn't be doing it?
I'm pretty sure I would not have been involved. I thought of criminals as those people. But when I had the opportunity to be imprisoned myself as a convicted felon, I learned that I was more like them than different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because of that experience that I do what I do today.
And I think one of the reasons we do the radio shows and one of the reasons we do the television shows is sometimes to put a human face on the individual that we call an offender. Of what most people will simply refer to as criminal.
Sure.
Because they read the newspapers, they watch the evening news, and every day there's endless litany of people under supervision or formerly under supervision doing terrible things to other human beings, and that's how they derive their image of quote-unquote criminal. One of the things that's always surprised me is that once you sit across from, now again, I've been in the criminal justice system for 40 years. I've worked with offender people under supervision or the offender population for a lot of those years. So I understand that they're no different from you and I.
Amen.
There's a certain point that once they get beyond their criminality and once they get beyond their drug use, they're pretty much not any different between you and I.
That's right.
Yet the average person carries that stereotype, and that stereotype sticks.
That's right.
One of the reasons why we don't have the drug treatment. That's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, one of the reasons why we don't have all the programs we need.
Certainly. Oh, I agree with you 100%, Lenny. But it is because of people like me and programs that are out there that think it necessary to help our population to return back to society as a whole person. They've had so many challenges most times, even before they went in. And so certainly they're going to have an abundance of problems when they come home. I mean, we look at today's times there, the issue with jobs is so hard for Joe Q citizen, mm-hmm. and it's doubly hard for those that have been incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
Not just jobs, but even housing, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is very important at this particular time that we help those that have come home. And, you know, as you, I don't need to say this to you, see, SOSA being in place because of the fact that we don't have a facility here in Washington, D.C.
We don't have a federal prison.
A federal prison.
Offenders from Washington, D.C. go to federal prison for
all
the people listening
over
to this.
The country.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So I'm excited about doing this work.
Lois Sawyer, you're in parole. You're under the supervision of my agency, Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. You returned to the District of Columbia on February 9th, 2010. That's a very short amount of time ago. How long did you spend in prison?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Lenny, for the opportunity that you've given to come and to speak to you and your listeners.
And I thank you for participating.
And I would like to say a shout out to your listeners.
Oh, there you go.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes, yes. And I came home after doing 25 years.
It's a long time.
On February the 9th, 2010. And I'm grateful unto God that he's allowed me to come back to the city to be part of the reentry of the returning citizens.
But that's it. Most people who spent that amount of time in prison who come back tell me that it is a really difficult process of spending 25 years in prison and then come back. That's a lot of people find that almost impossible to do.
Well, in my daily reading this morning, it talked about taking the I am out of impossible and making it possible.
Mm-hmm.
With God, all things are possible. So I am a firm believer that 25 years was like a time in which it was needed for me as an individual, because I could have been dead in my grave and on my way to hell and have died in my sins. But I thank God because he allowed me to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And this being the 25 years that I served was a chapter in one of my books to mm-hmm. come out and to be a better citizen, to be a catalyst to those who are coming behind me, to be able to be that individual to circumvent all that is the negativity and to make sure that things are better.
Two things are crossing my mind. Number one, your faith. Obviously, you're an individual of faith. And one of the things that I found about a lot of people, if not most people, who cross that bridge, as I put it, from tax burden to taxpayer, a lot of it is faith. A lot of it is faith in a higher power. And to us, as a federal agency, it doesn't matter to us whether it's Christianity, it doesn't matter whether it's the Muslim religion, it doesn't matter if it's Catholicism, it doesn't matter. Most people who seem to do well express a sense of an allegiance and an alliance with God, and that helps them move through society and help strengthen them and helps them deal with drugs, adversity, jobs, family, that sort of thing. Am I right or wrong?
Well, let me concur with you on that, Lenny. There is a higher power, and it's God Almighty in my life. And mm-hmm. I also believe that family is essential, along with a church
mm-hmm.
family, along with mentors, along with advisors, along with counselors that have given you given me a support network, a foundation. And without these individuals, God being at the head, family and church family and mentors and counselors and advisors, then I could not have been in the successful realm in which God has allowed me to be so far.
Now, I do want to talk to you about the statistics about people coming back from prison because they're not very good. A lot of people fail. A lot of people return to the criminal justice system outside of prison. So I do want to talk with you about that. But Yvonne, talk to me a little bit more about faith. And again, it's a delicate issue for us. We're a federal agency.
Certainly.
We have no interest in promoting any particular religion. But, you know, without the faith-based volunteers and without the individual religious convictions of the individuals who seem to do well, my fear is that many more people, many additional people coming out of the prison system would not succeed.
Certainly. Well, you're absolutely correct. I have found in my work that as a result of a faith base, most people who succeed are those that have had that faith to hold on to it, be it Christianity, be it Muslim, be it a Catholic. It does not matter. The faith is the key element in my mind's eye. Now, as you know, I am a Christian. But I work with everybody because the Bible tells it that God would have not one to be lost. And so I'm excited when I've learned that somebody has held on to some kind of spirituality base, and they had that spirituality base. That makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you're absolutely correct. And all those other components are important, but the faith piece is more important to me than anything else.
You're a pastor at Allen Chapel AME Church.
Associate Minister, yes.
Associate Minister. www.amamc.org. www.amamc.org is the website for the Allen Chapel AME Church in Southeast Washington, D.C.
Yes.
You know, most people who are either Christian or who are Muslim or who are Jewish don't mentor to offenders.
That's correct. And
it gets back to that larger issue of how society views people out of the prison system. And you know, if you hadn't been, you said it yourself, if you hadn't had the experience of being incarcerated yourself, you may not be mentoring to Lewis today.
That's correct.
So we have this view, regardless of whether we're churchgoers or not, that those people have committed horrible things. And they've harmed society, they've harmed their families, they've harmed other people. And, you know, they tell me, Mr. Sapes, look, you know, quite frankly, I'd rather volunteer in the schools, or I'd rather volunteer to the elderly. I'd rather do other things besides mentor to offenders.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. That's unfortunate. I might have shared this with you before, Lenny. For me, as a Christian, I'll just drop this on you for just a few moments. Prison system originated in the church, where God had put in place cities of refuge when people committed crimes. Mm-hmm. And so you move along the line. I believe it was the Mormons or someone.
It was the Mormons that started
the first church.
Oh, for the love of heavens. It was in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, right. And that's still churchy, if you will. And so for me, it makes sense that the church would go back and make a difference. I mean, that faith piece is very necessary. You look at this. When I was out on the street,
I apologize.
The Puritans. That's what it was.
I knew I had it.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. When I was out on the street, and Lewis too, most of us, when we were out on the street, there were no four walls. I mean, the world was was there for us, and we can do anything we wanted to. But when we went to prison, there was nothing but four walls, and so we had to sit down and listen because somebody was there talking about faith. It was the Muslims coming in, it was Catholics coming in, it was Christian Protestants coming in, and so there was somebody to listen, and they had our attention. And so consequently, some of us had a sense enough to listen. And praise God, when we came out, we were looking at the world in a different color eyes, or with different color shades, if you will. And so we're seeing things a lot different than we were, because before I wasn't saved, you know, myself. And so it was not until I went to prison, just before I went to prison, that I gave my life to God. And so I had sense enough to listen up. And so the faith piece is very important.
Well, it's very dicey and delicate for an agency like ours, being a federal agency, to take on the faith-based role and even talk about the faith-based role, because there's always inevitably people who are going to object to it, basically saying, Leonard, you're a federal agency. But it strikes me that, the federal government or any government entity is limited. Is extremely limited in terms of what it is that we can do to reach the hearts and minds of individuals. What happens is, in terms of the faith community, is that this individual comes out of prison and he or she is surrounded by individuals who help meet their basic needs, whether it be clothing, whether it be food, whether it be a place to live, whether it be fellowship, whether it be getting a suit for a job interview, whether it's taking care of the kids. The faith community in Washington, D.C., and the faith community throughout this country does that sort of thing. So not only do they provide services, but I can't help but feel that for so many people caught up in the criminal justice system, their lives have been very difficult. There's a lot of abuse. There's a lot of neglect. For female offenders, there is an ungodly amount of sexual violence committed towards them. You know, a lot of offenders are claiming mental health issues. If you sit and talk to the individuals caught up in the criminal justice system, and I'm not making excuses for their criminal behavior. If you do the crime, you do the time. Fine. So I'll say that before the emails come in. But the issue is that they're really struggling with life's issues. Early age of onset for alcohol use, early age of onset for crime use, for drug use, dropping out of school, early criminal activity. These are individuals who desperately need what another faith-based leader called a gang for good.
You talk about people before they go to prison, but I'll use Lewis as an example, and he can speak to that himself. Lewis, I'm not sure when Lewis was saved, before he went to prison or once he got there, but I have never seen a person that I've worked with to embrace the Lord in the way that he embraces them, in this sense, that he puts his entire trust in God. I don't care what it is. When he was looking for a job, when he was looking for housing, when he was looking for clothing, he was putting his entire trust in God. He is an example of a person who really has put all of his trust in God, and it's because of his faith. Again, I understand and I appreciate the fact that there are other religions out there as well, but I can only talk about Lewis and Christianity mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. So Lewis maybe should address that fact.
And we are. We're going to get together and spend probably the next half of the program with mm-hmm. Lewis. But wanted to reintroduce the program because we are halfway through already. Ladies and gentlemen, this is DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Leonard Sipes. We're doing a program on faith-based mentoring. Back at our microphones, you have Reverend Yvonne Cooper of the Allen Chapel AME Church in Southeast Washington, D.C., www.amamc.org. With Yvonne today is Lewis Sawyer. Lewis is on parole with my agency, the Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. He's been out after 25 years in prison. He came out on February 9th, 2010. Lewis, the second half of the show is going to be almost exclusively yours. So you come out and you got this sense of faith. Where did you have this sense of faith? Where did that sense of faith come from?
Well, Lenny, before I went in, I was a
In the microphone, please.
I was a member of a church, but the church wasn't in me.
Okay.
And when you have a religion, but you don't have spirituality, mm-hmm. well, you're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the fact of the Allen Chapel AME Church with Pastor Michael E. Bell Sr. and Reverend Yvonne Cooper
mm-hmm.
as the director of the Missing Links Ministry,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very insightful for those who are coming in and looking for employment, looking for housing, looking for clothing, looking for transportation. These are the items, the basic needs that returning citizens are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a church, members of the church, such as Allen Chapel, AME, who extend their love, they extend their gratitude, extend a warm arm of affection, and they welcome you in, not concerned what your charge is, not concerned how long you've been in prison, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when they show the love of Jesus in their mm-hmm. hearts, and they do for those who don't even know you, and I experienced that the first Sunday I went, which was the first Sunday in March, and I received that, and I thank God for the opportunity to be a part. And when you have that base, when you have that foundation, then how can you go wrong? And then you have people that's going to surround you, that's going to be a part of your transformation and being reintegrated back into society.
But I started off.
Think that
I started off the program with talking about Yvonne's faith, Yvonne's enthusiasm, Yvonne being up for this task. So many of us within the criminal justice system, there's a certain point we're beaten down by it. We've seen so many people who we've tried to help not allow themselves to be helped. We've seen so many people who we've emotionally been involved in go back to prison. It's a difficult system. I mean, most, excuse me, most, according to national statistics, most people go back to the criminal justice system, half go back to the criminal justice system. A higher percentage are rearrested, but half go back to prison, either for technical violations or a new crime. So the issue is that, you know, there's just, you know, a sense of you have your faith. What happened to everybody else?
Well, let's look at the statistics. Since we're talking statistics, we know that when you have a entity such as family and church family, such mm-hmm. as the Allen Chapel AME Church, and they surround you and they do what they can, we can only know that for myself, going back to prison is not an option mm-hmm. for me. Whatever the circumstances is, God is ahead of me, and I believe that when you grasp that opportunity, when you grasp that knowledge, you know that there is no failure in Him. So all of my help comes from Him. So that is the basis, the core.
Okay, and everybody else.
Well, I can't speak for everyone else, Lenny.
Somebody has to. I'm struggling with this issue because if it was as simple as you say it is, mm-hmm. then the federal government would hire and pay. And there would go the enthusiasm, because it's the enthusiasm of the volunteers that I'm really impressed by. Mm-hmm. We solve the crime problem in this country. All we have to do is to fund volunteers and have sufficient numbers of volunteers. And all we have to do is to place some sort of religiosity in people inside the prison system. And we dramatically cut back on recidivism. I mean, somehow, some way, we've got to explain to the public, okay, for Lewis, it works. And for a lot of other people, it does work, but for a lot of other people, it doesn't. And what do we tell them?
Well, first and foremost, you have to look at it in not being a religious odyssey. That's how you...
Right.
That's right. If you look at it in that aspect, then you're going to fail. But if you look at it from a spiritual perspective, because there is a difference between religion and spirituality.
Okay, so your bottom line is God saves across the board, whether it's a Muslim God or a Christian God or a Jewish God. It is, it's that sense of faith that is going to be the making or breaking point in terms of people coming out of the prison system.
It's a belief factor. You have to believe that God sent His Son.
Okay.
And because of that, the salvation is free to anyone who receives Him mm-hmm. as Lord and Savior. Now, when you put your faith in Him, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, then mm-hmm. nothing else is going to deter you from that. Sometimes we have to let go and let God. Many of us tend to hold on to our own idiosyncrasies. Mm-hmm. But when you release that mm-hmm. and believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or imagine, then we as a community can rally around that.
Okay,
and but believe that.
But I'm going to go back to Yvonne, and then go back to you, Lewis. Yvonne, sure. The answer can't be that simple. I mean, so everybody else doesn't believe in God. Somehow, some way, there's got to be a larger, greater explanation for why so many people return to the criminal justice system. My own personal belief is that if we were able to quadruple the number of volunteers. And if every individual who came out of prison was assigned, didn't ask for, was assigned mentors, and there were multiple mentors, our recidivism rate would go down. But that's not the case. There's only so many of you guys. People have to ask for the mentors, a mentor-mentee relationship. It just strikes me that is there a lesson for the rest of the criminal justice system in all of this?
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier that people get a little turned around or distressed, that is mentors, when so many people return back to crime. And I will say this to that, Lenny. I understand that, but you have to have a commitment and understand that even if you just save one. And I know Jesus left the 99 to go after the one, so if you just save one. And so even if you just save one and that person don't go back, to me, that is a win-win situation. But with respect to what you said, I hear Lewis, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. However, I broadened my thoughts in this sense that it is my job in my mind's eye that I would want to make sure nobody goes back to prison. And so I embrace the religion that a person has, whatever, whoever they believe in, be it Muslim or whatever. I embrace them because it's important to me. First of all, we want to introduce Jesus to folk, but I'll use this as an example. I will tell a woman that I want to help her. So a woman who's sure. been in prison, I want to help her. And she can't see Jesus if she can't feed her children.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to see something first. And so I want these people to see me helping them, whatever religion they have. Mm-hmm. And then prayerfully, I can lead them to Jesus Christ. But first, I want to keep them whole. And I want them to stay home, and I want to keep them whole. So they need to have something to hold on to. And if it is the Muslim faith, well, then so be it. Let it be the Muslim faith. I don't have a problem with that.
I apologize for being so terribly callous after 40 years and being involved in the criminal justice system. The faith movement.
Mm-hmm.
Within the reentry movement is probably one of the most inspiring things personally that I've seen in my 40 years within the system. I embrace it fully. I embrace it wholeheartedly.
Sure.
But that's not the point. The point is that we got Lewis, and Lewis is doing well. I'm just curious about what we do with everybody else who's out there struggling with drugs, struggling with employment, struggling with themselves, struggling with their own histories. It's easy for me to say, well, heaven's fine faith, but that's not a magic wand that you could, wave over somebody.
Well, Lenny, let me share something with you. This is a very important point that Reverend Cooper, my mentor at the Island Chapel AME Church, along with Pastor Bell, you don't have that. If you had every church, every synagogue, every temple, every mosque
mm-hmm.
that had a pastor, had an imam, had a faith-based leader like that,
mm-hmm.
then you would have not the problems that you would have. I would have to say that. I'm jumping out there, but mm-hmm. I have to say that if others would show the concern as Reverend Cooper and Pastor Bell show, then we might not have the recidivism rate as high as it is in the nation's capital. But we have to look at
or anywhere else in the country.
This is true. But being that I'm in Washington, D.C., I'm going to stay here.
Sure.
And the statistics will prove that when you give that person, that returning citizen, an opportunity to look to something, when you provide transportation,
mm-hmm.
housing, employment, medical, clothing, when you show the love, when you extend the love, and when you let them know that, hey, it's okay, I'm here for you, the mentoring aspect. And we really look at the terminology of mentoring, and when we look at it in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
we must realize that it's a whole encompass of things. It's just not one phase. It's to greet the person when they come in.
It's a gang.
It's a what?
It's a gang.
It's a gang.
I mean, so many individuals caught up in the criminal justice system uh-huh. were raised by gangs.
Mm-hmm.
They raised themselves, and they've been surrounded by a gang structure. Now we have a gang for good.
Mm-hmm.
It is all embracing. It is a group. It is one for all and all for one. I mean, we have a criminal gang that's dysfunctional and does a lot of destruction. We have a religious gang that does a lot of good.
Well, let me say this also, Lenny, that there's two words that I have used and have applied in my life from the time I've received the sentence until the time I was released was the initiative and persistence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the initiative to do what is right, and you look towards being persistent in doing it,
mm-hmm.
being to the point where failure is not an option, and to touch base and to connect and to network
mm-hmm.
with those organizations and those people who are about something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that when you put 100% of your time and effort, 24 hours, 7 days a week into it, then you don't have any time for negativity.
Well, that's true. But again, I we're in the closing minutes of the program, and I do want to just, my never-ending concern, and will be the never-ending concern until the day I die, I take a look at people like you, Lewis, and I'm saying, okay, thank God for people like Reverend Cooper. Thank God for Lewis. But daggone it, why can't we reach everybody else? And that's the closing moments of the program. I just want to, Lois, are you doing well?
Thanks be to God, I am doing outstanding.
And so life is decent, life is acceptable, and your chances of going back to drugs in prison?
Well, I've never done drugs.
Okay.
Never done drugs, but prison is not an option. But I'm very content with the way the life that God has allowed me to live. And even though I'm still looking for employment, but God is able, and when time comes for me to get employment, then that would be my time.
And for those people listening to this program in the D.C. area who have job offers, contact us through the points that I've just given you. Reverend Yvonne Cooper, God, I love having you with these microphones.
God bless you.
I really enjoy just sitting across from you and having these discussions. Final thoughts?
Well, I thank you so much, Lenny, for the opportunity. When I contacted you about Lewis, you were excited. I got you excited as I was, and so I thought he would be a good candidate.
I love success stories. I absolutely adore success stories.
He's just awesome. I mean, he's an awesome man of God, and his faith is just extraordinary, and so I wanted others to hear about his faith, and I think he did a stupendous job here today.
We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. This is D.C. Public Safety. Our guest today are Reverend Yvonne Cooper of the Allen Chapel AME Church in Southeast Washington, D.C., www.amamc.org. With her, Lewis Sawyer, under our supervision at Court Services and Offender Supervision Agency. If you have a job to give to Lewis, now's the time to get in touch with us. You can do so directly at Leonard, LEONARD.Sipes, SIPES, at CSOSA.gov, or follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/LenSipes. We really appreciate all of your comments. Most of you comment in the regular comment boxes, but we get the emails and we get the Twitter followings, and we are grateful, and we want everybody to have themselves a very, very pleasant day.
Amen.
Thank you, Lenny.